be absent from the body is not to be present with the Lord. So said Dan Sheridan. He's taken a crazy leap there. I don't remember reading that in the scripture. He's got a lot of explaining to do. Hi, everybody. I'm Martin Zender, and on the other line is Dan Sheridan. Good morning,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I'm on the other line, and I have to tell you, I am groaning. I am longing to be dressed in our habitation, which is out of heaven, because I don't want to be found in the death state. I'm groaning, being burdened. Now I want my mortality to be swallowed up of life, as Paul wished for in 2 Corinthians 5. That's what we're talking about here on these programs.
Yeah, swallowed up by life, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 4. He says, "For we also who are in the tabernacle," everybody listening to me is in the tabernacle, and we're not talking about the one in Salt Lake City. We're talking about these bodies. It's a figure of speech. Anytime you hear of a tent or a tabernacle, the comparison is made to a tent, this body, because it's so temporary. We are groaning, we who are in the tabernacle, being burdened. Every day we're burdened. We have to take care of this body. You got to brush your teeth. You got to shower. You have to put on deodorant. Most of us do, I hope. And it's just a major burden. And we're not wanting to be, it's a burden, but one thing we're not wanting, one thing's worse than that is to be stripped. We're not wanting to be stripped, Paul says, but to be dressed. What kind of dressing is he talking about? He's talking about that body, our habitation, which is out of heaven, verse 3. That's what he wants.
And I like how you pointed out, tabernacle, it is a figure of speech as well as the word building in verse 1. But when God uses his figures here, notice when he describes our present condition, it's a tabernacle, it's temporary. But when he describes our resurrection bodies, we're vivified, it's a building, it's a permanent structure.
I never noticed that. Wow, that is cool. Our terrestrial tabernacle, if that should be demolished, and then he says, we have a house not made by hands, aeonian in the heavens. We have a house, a building. We have a building of God. That's it. Yeah, we have a building of God. That's great. I never saw that there. I never contrasted building with tabernacle.
And this is the benefit of two brethren studying the scriptures together, because we help each other out.
yeah, we sure do. And yeah. Folks, we're jumping onto this topic. We started in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to go back there. I finished yesterday's show talking about the simple Sunday school picture God gives us of the seed going into the ground. It's planted. It's shoved into the soil. It's dark. There's no life. And then by a miracle, God brings life out of it. But nobody desires the corn when it's in the seed state. And yet Christians and most people in the world, they desire the death state. To me, that's as foolish as saying we want to eat the corn when it's still seed in the ground. It makes no sense.
There's an interesting verse in Job. We not only is this, we always look at this from our perspective, but this is a state that God doesn't like. God hates the death state, even in the book of Job. In Job 14, Job says, "If master dies, shall he live again? All the days of my enlistment I shall wait until my relief comes." Notice how Job describes life. And he describes himself as a master if he dies, because Job was an important man. He says, "All the days of my enlistment I shall wait." Our life is like a time of enlistment, like you're enlisted in the army. It's a time of enlistment. Until my relief comes, you know, like a soldier, he goes to battle, then he gets his relief troops come and take his place. Well, we're waiting for our relief, as it were. That's our life now. And then it says this in verse 15, "You shall call," and this is Job, "and I shall answer you. You shall long for the work of your hands." God himself longs for the day of our relief. He longs for the day to relieve us of this burden. He doesn't delight that we're going through this oppression on this earth, this vanity. It's necessary for the contrast, but he doesn't like it that we're groaning. He wants us relieved of this groaning situation.
That's good to know. That comforts me to know that God doesn't like this any more than I do. He's not getting some kind of morbid delight in seeing us groaning and being burdened down here.
Yeah, it's not like he's up there saying, ah, ha, ha, he's getting another trial. Nah, ha, ha, ha. No, it's like our Savior, who is the image of the invisible God. And when we see Christ, we see God's heart for us. He had no desire in Lazarus's death and suffering. He wept. He didn't like that Mary and Martha had to go through that crap. It didn't delight him at all. So he's, it says he wept. He groaned.
Absolutely.
He hates
absolutely
that situation.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely
he don't even
right.
Like it.
No, and he knew he was going to raise Lazarus in 5 minutes, but he still groans and he still cries over Lazarus. That's the tender. We see the tenderness of Christ, and as you say, that points us to the tenderness of God because he's the image of the invisible God.
Well, I think verse 5 adds that. It says, now he, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 5, now he who produces us, I love that word, he produces us, for this same longing is God, who is also giving us the earnest of the Spirit.
Yep, and Paul uses the word longing again there, the same longing, same word that he used in verse 2, longing to be dressed in our habitation which is out of heaven. That's the longing God has given us, not the longing for the death state. I know we keep saying that, but a longing for our heavenly habitation, the building of God.
I want you to notice something here. When we start talking about resurrection, we go from depression to joy. 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 are one topic. Notice in chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, we are not despondent. You see that?
Yep.
Now notice and check 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Wherefore we are what?
Not despondent.
Not despondent. And then he talks about our longing and our habitation. Then he says in verse 6, being then courageous always. Resurrection, this hope that's set before us, even to our groaning, makes us courageous always, and aware, we have an awareness that being at home in this body, the one we're in now, we are away from home from the Lord. As long as we're in this body, we're not with him yet, but we're still courageous because we have this earnest of the Spirit spurring us on, getting us ready. It's coming soon. Your relief is coming. Keep fighting the good fight. The relief is coming. You fill out your enlistment. Do your duty because relief is on the way. He goes, we are before by faith are we walking, not by perception, yet we are encouraged. Not only courage, we are encouraged and are delighting, rather, to be away from home, out of the body, the one we're in now, and to be at home with the Lord. This is not referring to the death state. This is referring to our building from God, to be at home with the Lord in a new resurrection body. And then he says, wherefore we are ambitious also, whether at home or away from home, to be well-pleasing to him. The hope of this resurrection makes us through this process of groaning and longing, gives us courage. It strengthens us to move us forward, to want to be ambitious, to be pleasing to him, to love him and to serve him. So this hope is a living hope. And we'll see this when we get back to 1 Corinthians 15. I think the whole purpose of 1 Corinthians 15 was the last few verses. The whole point of this teaching, it's relational. Paul's last words in 1 Corinthians 15, so that my beloved brethren become settled, unmovable, superabounding in the work of the Lord, always being aware that your toil is not for naught in the Lord. So this resurrection makes us realize that there's nothing unimportant. We have life to live. We're going through this enlistment, and it's encouraging us to move forward. Paul's almost like cheering us on. Yeah, it's rough now. You're going to survive. Be survival. You're going to survive.
This is helpful. This is really helpful to me. Why don't we just talk about resurrection and anticipate it all the time? That verse you read in 2 Corinthians 5, 6 really jumped out at me. Being at home in the body, we're away from home. And it makes me think that if we're at home in our body in the sense of being comfortable with it, I mean, this explains why some people are just like straining. Some people are just sort of disquieted because they know that this isn't their home. I think you can get too comfortable on this planet.
You
can get too comfortable in your body, and there's a certain angst people have. There's a certain anxiety, and I know we're not supposed to be anxious for anything, but there's a certain longing to be out of here. It's like you're constantly, I know we're all on a leash, and it's like we're stuck on this planet, but you know, there are some dogs that strain at the leash, and that leash is always taut. It's never slack because they're not taking a nap in their doghouse. They're wanting to run. They're wanting to break free. And there's something to be said about having a taut leash and being pressing against your restrictions and being at home in the body. I'm not at home with being at home in the body. Can I put it that way? This isn't my home. We long to be we long for to be away from home. This isn't our home. So to me, if you're comfortable here on this planet, if everything's fine and groovy and you're drinking a fancy drink with an umbrella in it on a hammock, I don't know, you know. It's just like, this isn't where we're supposed to be. Something's wrong about everything here. Something's wrong.
Yep.
And this is it. You put your finger on it. At home in the body.
We are not at home. And this is, remember, and I've mentioned to you, to share a struggle publicly here, is in the past, before you and I met, before I came to see the salvation of all, I was very involved in politics. And my job, unfortunately, had that direction. I am never comfortable because there's no solution. This isn't my home. I am trying, you know, and when you don't realize what your home is, God will never allow you to get comfortable on this earth, ever, if
yeah,
you believe.
I agree.
He will not allow you to take.
That's helpful.
I'm trying to find the words to use.
That is really helpful to know.
See, we're not proud. You and I mean, we. The whole talk, you know, various things, and that's why the political realm is so difficult for believers now, because we're not Israel. Israel's home was on earth. They had an allotment here. Their role is political in this world. You and I, and those listening to us who believe Paul's message, have celestial allotment. We're going to have a political role there. Our politics isn't here. And that's why we struggle so much on this earth sometimes, is that We try to make this world a better place to live in through various means, but we won't accomplish it because this is not our home. We are living elsewhere.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope this message is comforting you as much as it is me. I'm getting comforted just by listening to us talk. This word from the scripture is so true. I always knew there was some reason why I always felt like just out of place here, and this is it. We're gonna look into this more tomorrow. We're gonna end the week. I want to go to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians 4. We want to hear what you have to say about this. Write us. Go to our respective websites. Sheridan, you're at SheridanVoice.com, correct?
Yes.
I'm at MartinZender.com. Thanks for listening, folks. And we're gonna wind up this week. Tomorrow, we hope you are with us. Stay tuned.